You're listening to In the Event We Don't Make It with Tori and Amjad.
I'm Tori Stapleton.
And I'm Amjad Osman.
And this is In the Event We Don't Make It.
If you come across these files,
this is what was going on during the coronavirus 2020.
So make sure to tune in to see exactly what was happening.
Or don't, f*** you.
Let's jump in. All right. So today is what? Tuesday, March 17th, right? Day two of quarantine?
Of forced quarantine? Like
forced quarantine. You know, this is an interesting time in not just American history, but in world history.
Yeah.
It's the first time, I think, since we've been alive, that there's been a problem that the entire fucking world has to deal with.
Yeah, I can't recall anything of this magnitude. It's pretty movie-like. But I appreciate it. I mean, this is kind of like what I do every day, so it's not really the biggest change of pace. I mean, the biggest difference I see is just the people around me, to be honest.
Hold on. Did you just say this is not very much different compared to what you do on a regular... So you quarantine yourself every single day?
For the most part. I mean, like, a lot of people think that I'm extremely social, and I can be, but I have my moments. I go out, and maybe I'll post when I'm out, and then I'm in the house for the next 2 days.
So
doing
when
nothing. So people think like, yo, you're always out, but that's because I don't post when I'm in the house. I just post when I'm out.
So life is a little less exciting when you're at the house.
Honestly, I love being by myself. I love being alone. I love being by myself.
So what exactly do you do when you're by yourself?
Ah, man. I mean, you want to know what I do in my alone time?
Listen, man, I'm not asking for gruesome details.
In my quiet hours? I mean, I wake up if it's a little too early for me to be up, which I feel like is any time before 10 a.m., I'll rub one out, go right back to sleep.
I heard you refer to it the other day as slapping your man.
Oh,
I ain't never heard of it like that before.
Oh, yeah, man. You know, it's nothing wrong with spanking your man.
Spanking your man.
Mean?
There it is.
I'm sure I heard Pornhub visits are up through the roof right now.
I heard that they're offering free memberships for the folks that are in Italy. Obviously, our hearts are with those people and with really anybody that has the virus, right? We are extremely sympathetic definitely understand that this is a problem, again, that affects the entire world and the importance of social distancing. I think you and me got lucky that the two of us ended up together, because I don't know what the fuck I would be doing if it was just me, bro.
I don't know. I mean, you know, living by yourself, you could be dead in here for days before somebody realizes, you know.
That's true.
That's kind of dangerous. I mean, I went to the hospital. I had the flu right before this crazy outbreak. And, you know, I was by myself for the most part. I mean, you were here.
I was. And yeah, I tried to stay far away from your ass.
I noticed that. I mean, even with us living in the same quarters, I could have been dead up there for maybe 2 days before you would have noticed.
It's possible.
It could have been 2 days. You know what I mean?
It's possible. But, you know, I was doing my best to try to check on you.
You
didn't ask me about going to Taco Bell like you normally do, so I assumed you was knocked the fuck out.
It was one time I was like, did I hear you talking about Taco Bell down there? You're like, no, I'm not home, bro. I'm like, all right, cool. Maybe that was just me. I just thought I heard maybe it was a neighbor or something like that. But nah, it is nuts when you don't have anybody living with you. Or, you know, to kind of like share in this quarantine time. I mean, when I did have the flu, I really realized how single and alone I was.
I remember talking to you once. You were like, man, I need my mom.
Dog, I'm like, man, like, I can't get this. No matter how hard I try, I can't make this tea quite like, I don't know if she sprinkles a little love in that motherfucker or what, but I couldn't get the tea quite right. And I'm just sitting here. I'm like, damn, like, it sucks. I'm sick. I'm making my own tea. I'm making my own soup. It was terrible. I really realized how alone I was. And then I went to the hospital. Shout out to Craig for driving me to the hospital, to the emergency room. But the motherfucker definitely dropped me off and was like, yo, let me know what they say, bro. And I was
you on your
like,
own.
Yeah, I was just like, yo, I feel like shit. I feel like I'm about to pass out. He dropped me off. I'm like, yo, that's just, you know, your boys will hold you down, but you know, then they asked me who my emergency contact was. I'm like, I'm going to put my mom on here, but she's 3,000 miles away. Like, mm-hmm. By the time she gets here, like, you know, I'll be blue and cold.
Right, right. It's definitely a hard experience, I think, being out here and being on your own, right? But you also had a different challenging experience, because when you got there, they didn't just lay you down in a bed, right?
Nah, man, it's terrible. I mean, shout out to Kaiser Permanente for holding me down. But, you know, they told me, they were like, yeah, we're going to get you a bed. And I got there and it was like a barber chair with a fucking blanket on it. And I'm just like, nah, that's not a bed. Like, if you saw when I left, I packed a whole bag. Because I'm like, listen, like, I haven't been able to sleep. Like, you know, in my mind, I'm like, they're going to give me an IV and they're going to let me sleep for a couple days. Mm-hmm. But there's no way that they're letting me out of here. They gave me a barber chair with a little sheet, a thin ass sheet, and you know, gave me some meds. I started feeling a little better while I was there, and then prescribed me some meds and sent me on my way, man. But you know, that was like the start of me feeling a lot better. So I am appreciative, but it's just crazy, man. You realize really how alone you are. So the next girl that says I'm handsome, I'm wifing.
as long as she also says she can cook too, you know, that's kind of an important thing. Because when you're on your ass and you know, obviously you can take care of yourself.
Right.
But I think there's some qualities that we all need in a partner, especially being able to cook. Because when I'm down, you know, I got to eat. I still got to eat. And when you're down, I'm going to be the one doing the cooking, taking care of you, making sure you got what you need, right?
Nah, definitely. My bar is really low at this moment. After the experience that I had, I mean, I'm gonna have my mother teach him how to make tea the way she makes it. And then if you could hook up some fire ramen, or just not, you can't really, just don't fuck the ramen up. And if you could do that and you're at least a five.
You're at least a five. We stupid that low.
yo, you're at least a nickel. You think I'm handsome? You can make tea. You can make some ramen. We could get it. We could get this thing on.
Like, listen, man, I'm not going
to get a ring from me right
now. To each his own, ladies. If you're listening, you got a bachelor here who's ready for you.
Hey, man.
So
I'm just not trying to go through flu alone again.
Hey, man.
Or Corona. But
listen,
or anything.
Listen. So what I was gonna say is I had the same flu you had before I came and lived with you, so don't be blaming on me.
Nah, this flu wasn't like the one I don't know what you had.
What I had was something that I've never had before in my life. It was a flu that just it was crazy.
Right.
But so anyway, now our world, our society here, right, there's some rules in place to try to keep people safe, like social distancing, right, closing restaurants and bars and clubs and all that. But you were at the club right before all that happened.
Oh, man.
And I happened to be back at home chilling, and you came back and you were like, bro, I gotta tell you something crazy. And I'm like, what's going on? Who died? You're like, well, ain't nobody died, but I got to the club and what was going on,
bro,
there?
Got to the club. It was me, my boy Mo, homegirl Tiff. We get to the club. We're chilling, you know, waiting for the bottles to come out. It was actually really cool to see so many people out enjoying life. But then, it was very strange, because I started noticing that the bottles looked a little funny as they were coming out. And, bro, lo and behold, man, they were popping bottles of Purell, like big bottles of Purell.
Oh, my God.
I mean, coming out with sparklers and everything.
Purell, the hand sanitizer.
Purell, the hand sanitizer.
At the club.
All the waitresses had doctor's coats on, like lab coats.
Wow.
All the employees had gloves on. And then I'm like, man, we're really making a mockery of this situation. And I guess this is before the shutdown. And I think, I don't know, for me and the people that I've been around, I've realized that, like, with every passing day, it's gotten a little more serious to us. At first, it's like, oh, it's a joke. We can still go out. But, you know, with every passing day. So they were popping bottles of Purell at the club. And then it was like the next day that they're like, listen, we got to start shutting shit down. And lo and behold, shit shut down.
Yeah, I mean, I think you and I both witnessed it firsthand, going to the grocery store, right, and seeing the shelves completely empty, seeing people walking around in there with their grocery carts fully full. I remember the first time I went to the grocery store, you know, as this whole entire thing was kind of unfolding, I was so caught up in my day-to-day routine, I didn't really stop to think, oh, you know, I should go to the grocery store and stock up. Right. So I'm there one day in the middle of the afternoon. I took a break from the work I was doing. I said, let me go get some groceries for the week. I'm walking around in there and I'm talking on the phone. I'm taking a meeting on the go. And suddenly I look around and every cart that I see is full. And not just full to the brim, where if you make a quick sharp turn, some of the stuff in there is going to fall out.
Yep.
Right? So I stopped and I thought about it for a second. I'm like, oh shit, these people must all be preparing. And so obviously those folks were ahead of the curve. But now, and at the time, those shelves were a little bit more stocked and a little bit more full. But now, you go to the grocery store and almost every shelf with everything that has some sort of substance, right? Except for like, you know, those little marshmallow Peeps things.
Yeah, nobody likes those. Who fucking likes Peeps?
I never had it.
I don't even know. They don't sell Peeps for the money because I never seen anybody buy Peeps.
and I think now it's very clear nobody really fucks with them because if
this
you go and you look,
time.
It's completely full.
It's a perfect time to see if your product is ass. This is the only market research you need. Like, if you go to a grocery store right now, your shit is still on the shelf. Your shit is ass.
Garbage.
Or it's perishable.
Even when people need it, or if it's the last thing on earth, people still not going to buy it?
Right.
You need a new product.
You know what? I went to the store and the entire juice water aisle was gone except for Gatorade Zero. And that was proof to me. I mean, I hate Gatorade Zero, but the entire aisle was gone except for Gatorade, nasty ass motherfucking Zero.
Yeah, so Gatorade, if you're listening, we need a product remix.
Yeah, dead that shit.
Ingredient.
It's like, yo, the CEO's son probably said, you know what? We should come out with a zero calorie Gatorade. And he said, you know, that's a good idea. He probably just wanted to empower his
son. Didn't want to shoot his son down.
He didn't want to shoot his son down. So that's why they created Gatorade Zero. And that's why they've yet to pull it from their fucking arsenal.
That's right.
Because that shit is trash and everyone
clearly,
knows it.
And clearly the consumers clearly. Know. But so
if they gave it to me, I wouldn't take it.
Listen, man, this is day two of being in quarantine.
Right.
Day 15, you might think a little bit differently.
Nah, I'd rather
day 45, you might think a little bit differently.
You got a Brita filter here. It's yours, actually. You got a Brita filter here. I'll keep filling that and drinking this faucet water before I drink that Gatorade Zero. So.
Again, you might change your mind by the time we get to day like 32, 33, you know what I'm saying? But for the sake of time, we'll keep it moving.
Right. I need a couple calories.
So, you know, we talked about some of the precautions, right? Obviously, the city of LA and other cities around the country shutting down basically business altogether. And so there's a lot of people that are out of a job, a lot of people that relied on the restaurant industry or relied on driving a taxi or an Uber or a Lyft, which have also been canceled in New York City, which I imagine is going to happen next here in LA and San Francisco and all these other major cities. And so, you know, it doesn't seem to me like a solution or a vaccine is something that we can expect within the next few days. It sounds to me like it's something that can come up maybe in the next couple weeks, maybe few weeks, right? We really don't have an idea.
Yeah, well, so, from what I hear, they're doing human testing now, and that's going to take a while. And I mean, this definitely won't be overnight, but maybe expedited somewhat. But
yeah. So I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
So. You and me are both not experts, right?
Not
so,
at all.
Yeah, I have no public health expertise, but we're going to play executioner or the role of, what do we want to call it?
I think I like the executioner.
Executioner. I mean, that might be your tactic for what's about
to
happen.
My solution.
But let's say there are no rules whatsoever. Mm-hmm. I want the most ridiculous ideas you can think of. And they don't have to be politically correct for those of you listening.
Right.
This does not reflect our views. This is seriously just a lighthearted attempt to poke some fun at the situation here in hopes that a real solution will come down the line.
That's a good disclaimer.
What do you do?
Hey, we just got to make sure nobody uses like a little snippet of this. And
hey, you know, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's how it goes.
That's how it always goes. Yeah, man, it is what it is.
Whatever. We'll have time to retract our statements.
So your solution to COVID-19, what you got for me?
Kill everyone that has it.
Okay.
And then kill the person who killed everybody that had it because they got too close.
Okay.
So we got to have somebody like fire on him from afar. Right?
I think that's a very extreme idea, but I'm with you so far.
Yeah.
I feel like it's kind of like
a dead man will never sneeze or cough again.
That's true.
Can't spread the germ.
I think there's some movies like that.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. I mean, listen, if there was any president to think about it, I'm sure Sure, it's ran through the mind of Sir Don.
Yeah, right. Oh, Lord. I know you didn't call that guy Sir Don.
Let's not even get started.
Yeah, we can talk about Donald all day. I got an idea.
Yeah, what's your solution?
Recently,
what are you coming up with?
Recently, we saw Cristiano Ronaldo, obviously has had an island that he's purchased for himself.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when he purchased the island, but I imagine it was before this all happened. And I guess he has a jet of his own or a boat or
he
something.
He does. I'm sure, I think he's lent it out.
Yeah, maybe. I think a kind of an extreme idea.
Relief.
We tell him, or, you know, we go to some major island, right? And we just pick that island, load everybody that has been infected onto a cruise ship, right? Give them supplies to take with them. And it's, look, they have to be in quarantine for what, 2 weeks if you're a healthy person to be able to really avoid this thing. And if you're around other people that are infected, and you kind of keep a little bit of distance between you and them, you guys all have access to supplies, in 2 weeks you should all be good, except for those folks that need the healthcare. Because there's a lot of people that I think are clogging up the healthcare system that are younger and could potentially have symptoms, and maybe those people need healthcare, right? But the rest of those folks, like imagine me and you are living in Italy, right? And they said to us, hey, look, rather than having you infect the rest of the folks who haven't yet been infected, we're just going to take you to an island. Stay there. We'll give you all the medication, whatever you need, or supplies you need, and come back when you're done. But that requires one important thing.
And that is?
Testing.
Mm.
That's the biggest problem. So now we take a step back. No tests exist. Where do you take it?
Wow. You just threw a monkey wrench in there. no tests exist. I don't know. We got to have like a corona sniffing dog that can just kind of like, right? And like everybody's got to walk past, you know, the airport, what they do with the dog. Everybody's got to walk past the dog. If you smell some corona on your ass, you going on that island, man. You get on that cruise ship, you getting off that island. Maybe we just let everybody get it and it's just population control. What does they say? It's like a 2-3% more,
mortality rate. I think that's for people in the age range between like 22 to 29.
Okay.
And then I think the same mortality rate is for folks that are a little bit older than us. But the people that have the hardest time with it are, I think, 70 and up.
Yeah.
So, again, you know, these are the rates as of right now. If we survive
to actually see what
to see another day
damages. No, it's really not. It's really, and you know, like we said, we're poking fun at it, but it's really nothing to take, you know, nothing to take lightly.
Not at all.
But you're talking 70 and up. I mean, I'm sure there's a lot of old racist motherfuckers who just need to go in that group. So, if you could take those people, Nah, we're gonna get crucified for this.
So your thought process?
I don't really feel like that.
Yeah,
I kind of do, but
I don't know. I'm trying to think about some extreme situations.
I don't know, man. I really don't have much of an idea of a solution for this because this is crazy.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to go back and watch all these movies and see what they did, because obviously it was some sort of foreshadowing.
I mean, if
someone had
at,
knowledge of, you know,
there's a book. I can't remember what it was called right now, but there's a book, and I saw this trending on Twitter where this book, I guess, predicted a lot of things that have happened in the past. And in the same, I think maybe
it's a woman that wrote it, correct?
Yeah,
it
dark
said something about it actually like pinpointed where the disease would come from as well.
It was called something similar,
something like that.
Yep.
Like, it was a number.
But it predicted that this virus would come from Wuhan and and that it would spread to become a pandemic.
Right.
Right. But on top of that, if you really want to make this thing seem even more realistic, when Donald was transitioning out of office and President Obama and his administration were helping him through the transition, it turns out that they actually mentioned to them that there was some sort of pandemic that was going to potentially happen down the line. And they tried to prepare his existing cabinet at that time to prepare for something like this. But turns out Donald fired all those people. So, you know, in a time of crisis, you need people with leadership and experience to be able to step up and say, hey, I've dealt with something that is on a completely different scale, but, you know, it's some sort of
epidemic,
maybe, right? This is how we deal with it. And it turns out Donald just completely said, fuck it. We, you know, y'all are out of here. I don't need your experience. I don't really care about you. And that's what he's kind of been doing throughout his entire administration, really. So this conversation is not about him, but I just thought that that was really fucking ironic.
Well, that's what happens when you allow a reality TV star to be your president. You're going to get some dumbass decisions. You know what I'm saying? And not that every president prior was perfect, but come on.
Yeah. But I think if you really left it up to him, he might come back. And if he was the one making the decision, he might be the one to be like, oh, yeah, well, let's just kill them all.
I mean, he said crazier things. Right?
That's true. That's very true.
He said crazier things. I mean, yeah, so I don't know what the solution is. I really don't. This is just all of this is just mind-boggling to me. I've never experienced anything like it. I don't think anybody else has experienced anything like it. And we're just going to kind of have to ride it out. I mean, we're in here making a fucking podcast because we don't have anything else to do. And in the event that we don't make it, and there is some sort of life form after this who understands how to operate any sort of technology and can play this tape back, we're going to tell you what's going on. We're going to give you the real from our perspective. We're not experts, but we're going to give you the real.
I think that's part of what's so crazy about all this shit, right, is nobody's really an expert.
No.
But we saw social media become such a, I guess, toss such a wrench into things during the political environment when Donald was being elected into office, right? We saw social media become such a ridiculously political climate when Iran got attacked, right? Now, speaking of that, just in 2020, we lost Kobe.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. We had Iran get attacked. Now we're dealing with this nonsense, coronavirus. I've seen a lot of people that are saying, you know what? I'm sorry, 2019, for all the bad things I ever said about you. I'll take you back, baby.
Yo, man. I mean,
I want you back, baby.
I would gladly take it back. Or if we could fast forward. I don't even know if fast forward would be right, because we might fast forward and all be in I Am Legend. Be that last person on earth talking to mannequins, running around with our little dog that's destined to die. I mean, they only live a certain, you know. Man. Yeah, I go back to 2019. Gladly.
Easily.
Gladly.
Huh?
Gladly. And skip over this year. This is just crazy, man.
It is crazy. But imagine, let's take the I Am Legend scenario, right? Okay. There's a TV show that was called Last Man on Earth. I want to say it used to be on Fox, and it was kind of a crazy story.
I don't watch Fox, sorry.
I don't really watch Fox that often, but that show was good enough to watch Fox, right?
Yeah.
So this show, there was one man left on Earth, and he kind of behaved like a caveman.
Mm-hmm.
If you were the last man on Earth, right, and this man was going to grocery stores and breaking in, getting everything he needed, getting drunk, getting high, driving ridiculously nice cars, living in, you know, these mansions that are all obviously completely abandoned, right? He was living a damn good life.
Right.
If you were him, how would you spend the first 24 hours when you realize you're the first and only person alive on the planet? First 24 hours.
The first 24 hours. Honestly, the first 24 hours would be my last 24 hours, because I can't picture myself having any desire to live if I'm the last person on Earth.
You give up in 24 hours?
Yeah.
Really?
So if I 100% knew I was the last person on Earth, it's over for me.
Really?
Talk about... We just had a conversation about how lonely I felt when I had the flu.
That's right.
Living in LA with a roommate, with family 3,000 miles away who I could FaceTime, I could talk to on the phone, what have you. And now we're talking about going to the extreme where I'm the last person on Earth. What is there to live for if you're the last person on Earth? I mean, I like to say I don't know. There's nothing that I could see being fun or having any sort of joy in it if I'm the last person on Earth.
I understand.
I gotta share it with somebody, man.
I understand that perspective. I just feel like,
what would you do?
For me personally, I would spend a few hours trying to decide where I want to live. right? Mm-hmm. Because for me, I'm gonna ride this thing out until it's a wrap, right? Mm-hmm. I'm gonna find a nice, comfortable place to live, probably near the beach. You know, you find some tranquility in water, kick it for a couple hours, try to rest, wrap my mind around a game plan. But really, I think what I would try to do is find like some sort of helicopter or jet airplane or something crazy like that that gives me a chance to see the world from above. So maybe every single day I dedicate a couple hours just flying above, just trying to see if, you know, maybe either trying to see if there's life out there or...
Oh, so there is potential for...
You don't know.
Life.
You don't know.
Oh, see, I thought it was known that... Okay, so that kind of changes things. If there is potential for other life forms out there, then I agree with your tactics. Try to some way travel and see from above where there is some other life. Are there still animals out running around?
We don't know. As far as you know, you're the last,
you said last
person,
man.
Last person on planet Earth. Okay. Right? You have no clue. So for me, I'm thinking, all right, I'm going to dedicate a couple hours a day just to go scope it out. And maybe along the way, as I'm scoping out the scene, trying to see what's going on, maybe I find like a nicer house. Mm. I find a car that I want to go and drive. Or, you know, at that point, you're not really living for a true purpose, but to live and to, unless you believe in fate, right? If you have some sort of strong backing in faith and you're like, all right, it's just me and you, God. Then every day you wake up and you pray and you just, you know, you live a fulfilling life in that regard. But I don't know, man. I think if I got to that stage in my life, it would be really hard to be happy.
Right, for sure. I think I'd backflip off of a building or something and end it. Now Earth is officially done. I don't want to be that one person that God's just, well, I guess if he wanted me to die, I would die, but... The one person on Earth that Earth is like waiting for me to go, so they could say like, "All
right,
we're done."
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's like, so the way
it's
you
like being
it,
that last guy in the restaurant and like everybody waiting to go home. It's like, you know what I mean? I don't want to be that guy. Like, you know, all right, I'm sorry, I'm a backflip off a damn building, and that's gonna be it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know,
and didn't move on.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, man, listen, I am mad at you. I am mad at you.
And scene, and then you hear everybody clapping, and it's like, yeah.
And then there were none left.
Right, right.
Yeah. I
saw a meme today with it was aliens sitting down on the couch. One of them was watching TV, and another alien came in, I guess. It was a still. It wasn't a video. But another alien came in and was like, "Hey, girl, what you doing?" And then it said, "Oh, I'm just watching season 2020 of Earth. Shit is getting crazy right now." I thought that was hilarious.
That's actually really good.
And that's probably what we're living for. This is like... you know, not a dress rehearsal. This is just, we're really living in season 2020 of Earth, and there are aliens above just watching us and just watching our movements.
You know, there's a lot of people that are conspiracists, right? They're thinking that this was some sort of design by some sort of government to try to eliminate a race of people or a group of people. Mm-hmm. Honestly, man, like, I'm not a conspiracist, so I don't really subscribe to that bullshit. But the more I think about it, the more I find myself thinking that it could be possible. Mm. Right? It's like people talk about 9/11. I don't know what happened in 9/11. You know, I just remember coming to America and you know, watching on TV as a young kid.
A good movie.
Right? And I'm just like, I was talking about me coming to America. Oh, yeah, not the movie coming to America. It is a great movie, though.
Queens.
Yeah, right? And I remember that entire situation. I think to myself, like, there's no way that could have been fake. Mm. There's no way that could have been a conspiracy. There's way too many lives that were lost that day. Just like this situation. There's no way that can be a conspiracy. But the internet is undefeated. And we've seen a lot.
Never seen the internet lose.
I've never seen the internet lose either. It's like... Right. It's the reigning champ.
Right.
They're poking fun at everything. I told you today, I saw something that said, you know, obviously our prayers are with him and we want to make sure he's fine and sending him all our love. Kevin Durant was tested positive for coronavirus, and people were saying, okay, cool. We got Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and I think one other person that tested positive for it. And everybody was like, oh shit, all the world has to do is give it to one more person and they can sign a point guard. And they'll have a starting five.
Man, they'll be able to win the chip, right?
Like, yeah, like come on, people.
Outrageous.
Outrageous.
But great comedy.
Hilarious comedy. I think seeing those type of things though is you know, that obviously is a really shitty example. Right. That's kind of shitty. Like the man just got diagnosed with the shit. Like let's give him a break, right?
Right, right.
But I do appreciate all the people that are trying to poke fun at it, and all the TikToks we're seeing, all the memes we're seeing.
Yeah.
Right. Like I see the one meme that says, you know, it's like a guy laying in bed with a blanket over his head, and it says, "At the tone, please punch in your dial number or whatever.
Right, right, right.
Please
right,
punch
right.
in your code." And he's like laying in bed, taking
all the
call
work from home,
all the way from home. Right. Like, which is again a luxury, but it's nice to see that people are doing some small things.
It's a coping mechanism. Yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? It's a coping mechanism. There's definitely been some funny memes, and I feel like they're just pulling clips and photos. Like, I mean, did you see the Lou Rawls one?
No, I haven't.
Oh my God. That one was hilarious. So it's Lou Rawls one. Basically he's on stage and he's trying to hold in a cough because he's singing, he's performing, and it's the funniest shit ever. He's just like, "You'll never fly." And he's like, you know what I mean, just trying to hold in his damn, it's hilarious, right, right. Man, that one, and then the Idris Elba one killed me when they took the clip from when he was on what's the Hot Ones.
Oh yeah, yeah, when yeah. He's and he's choking up.
Fuck, you know what I mean? Yeah, hilarious. So
that's my guy, man. I felt bad for Idris, man.
I think that's so the NBA is. If this is a conspiracy, which I don't believe it is, maybe blown out of proportion, maybe. But if this is a conspiracy, they use the NBA to like make black people think that this shit was serious, right? Because everybody was like running around. It was all those rumors, and black people were like, "Yo, show me a black person that has it."
Yeah.
And like, bam, Donovan Mitchell, bam, Rudy Gobert, you know, Rudy Gobert first. But, you know, so they started like showing us these black people that got it. And then it's like, and if you didn't think it was serious after all of that, fucking the black 007, you know,
right.
Idris Elba, you know what I mean, is going to. So, yeah, those are good tools.
It's crazy because a lot of black people were saying before, like you're saying, black people are immune to the shit. And I'm over here scratching my head. I'm like, well, you know, I guess it did. You know, there was a lot of Chinese people that had it first in Wuhan.
Right.
Then it kind of became an epidemic in Italy.
And all Tom
right.
Hanks.
All right. Then Tom Hanks. I'm like, okay, no black people so far. All right. It was like there was another meme. It said something like coronavirus, however many people were affected by it, and then it was like black people, zero.
Yeah, right. Right. Man.
Like I said, man, the internet is undefeated. But
all our black kings and queens seem to be asymptomatic.
Which is a good thing.
Which is a good thing. But they're also young, you know what I mean? They're also pretty young, so yeah. Young and healthy, I guess.
I think at the end of the day, man, like we're really fortunate to be in a position where being at home doesn't affect you and me.
Right.
Right. And I think we are fortunate to live in a world where there's a lot of positivity around what's happening in terms of how we band together as a world. I think governments, small and large, are trying to figure out how to address this issue. And some people are receptive. You see the people that are in fucking Clearwater Beach, Florida on spring break.
Out there chilling, big chilling.
Chilling, acting like it's really spring break with nothing else going on in the world. Like, was your semester really that hard?
Man, I'm just hoping I'm not one of those people because I've been posting some of these funny memes and all types of shit. I mean, I've been going out. I went bowling.
But you're sitting here.
But I'm sitting here at this moment, you know. But a couple of days ago, I thought it was a joke. I just hope I'm not one of those people, like thought it was a joke, and then all of a sudden I'm like, and I just, you know, retire.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, I hope I'm not one of those people. So shit, but for those people in Clearwater, I hope you're doing the right thing. I hope you're on the right side of history, because yeah, shit could get real.
Shit can get very real.
We have no idea how real it can really get, but we're riding this thing out, man. What do you think about this proposal to give every adult American $1,000 a month?
I think it's extremely necessary. I think that...
Do you think it's enough?
I say let's start there and see what happens, right? I think it's difficult to say whether it's enough or not, because $1,000 for you and me might be very different. I don't have any kids. Mm. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a family to support here immediately. I take care of my family, but I don't have a child or a household that relies on my income here, right? I obviously, I take care of my mother, my family, you know, I try to help out as much as I can. So it's different for me.
Mm-hmm.
And $1,000 might go a long way for someone who is single, someone who is on their own and is only taking care of themselves. But for a family?
Yeah, bro.
If you got three kids, you're telling me you want $1,000. But look, it's $1,000 per adult.
Okay,
then it becomes the problem. What if you're a single parent? That's kind of a circumstance you can't really plan for. But I think some action is better than no action, right?
I think
taking the right steps first to eliminate people from being able to go to bars and clubs and restaurants and all that, that was a really important first step.
Mm.
The U.S. as of right now is considering closing its borders except for necessary travel, right? Essential travel is what they call it, excuse me. And I think that's another really important step. We saw Sudan, my home country, close their borders immediately and turn planes around in midair. Nah, bro, you ain't getting in here today.
Right.
Miss me with that shit, right? Really important. And so I think now, because a lot of small businesses are unfortunately collapsing, because they don't have the revenue from people to come into their stores and spend it, just because people are not going there and buying gift cards or whatever to help them drive revenue or give them some sort of income while they're waiting to figure out what's next. I think $1,000 a month for each adult in the household is a great first step. I'm not a politician and I haven't studied public health and I haven't studied, you know, any other stuff. So I can't really say, but it's a necessary first step. But the thing that's the most important that needs to happen is testing needs to be accessible worldwide and available yesterday. You know what I'm saying? What do you think? $1,000 enough?
You know, it definitely depends. If we're, like you said, it depends on family size, depends on your circumstances. But if we're pausing rent or mortgage payments, I think that $1,000 could suffice for food. I mean, you got to eat. Even if you're inside, you got to eat, you know. So if bills are pausing and you're getting $1,000, I think that's pretty solid. You could probably make it do what it do, you know. But if we still got to pay bills, and we're kind of like $1,000 really isn't shit. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends, man. Some people could stretch it. Some people can't. You know what I mean? Where you going to go? You going to go to Whole Foods or you going to go to Ralph's? You know what I'm saying? What you going to do?
Or Aldi's, if you know.
Aldi's. You know, what are you doing? You going to Costco? You going to BJ's? Wherever you're at.
I'm definitely not going to Costco. I saw on the news.
Oh, yeah.
People lining up at the doors like 400 people deep.
Those lines are ridiculous.
With carts. Like, man, listen, man. But look, again, those people are ridiculous, because what are they doing? They're hoarding all this, these massive amounts of water, right? Hoarding toilet paper. Like, listen, so let me tell you something. You're sitting at home. The water right now is working just fine.
Right.
Right? Imagine tomorrow they shut down stores, grocery stores, all together.
I'm just going to clean my ass.
That's what a logical person would do.
Yeah.
But imagine in a week, you run out of all the food you got in the house, but you got toilet paper left. You going to eat the toilet paper?
What are you going to do? Exactly. Well, that's when, we bring into effect a nice barter system. And you go hit the streets with your loads of toilet paper. Hope you don't get robbed, but you find somebody that has some canned goods or some food, and you start trading. It's like they do in prison. You know what I mean?
Just like they do in prison.
I mean, you got to do what you got to do to survive. You know what I mean? I got this toilet paper. You got them canned beans. Let's make it happen. You know, let's swap it on out.
You and me were brainstorming ideas of what to call the show.
Right.
You mentioned something to me. What did you say you want to call this?
In the event we don't make it.
And so, with that, you're listening to
In the Event We Don't Make It
with Tori and Amjad. And listen, we hope to see you for the next episode of In the Event We Don't Make It.
Right. On day three of mandatory quarantine.
Mandatory quarantine. And hopefully we won't have run out of toilet paper.
Right back at you tomorrow.
All right, bud G.
Sponsored by Gatorade. Zero.
Definitely not. See y'all later.
Later.